Wonderful song for after the revival meetings. Hopefully that's something that as the Lord worked on your heart this past week, that we walk away saying, I want to be more faithful. I do want to be more devoted. I want to be more holy. I want to be more like you. Isaiah chapter number 41 is where we're going to start off. I'm actually going to focus on one verse today. And I've been planning on preaching this verse or this message now for a few weeks, and you would think, man, that means you have a lot of stuff, but I only have one paper today, and there isn't a ton on it because I don't know exactly where the Lord's going to lead, because it might go into tonight also, just because there's some wonderful truths here I think could be a help and encouragement to you today. I tell you that the day and time we live in, it's crazy. The world that's around us is crazy. It's broken. It's what sin happened in the garden. And if we didn't have the Word of God that would teach us and tell us and instruct us that times are going to become worse and worse and they're going to wax worse and worse, we would be dismayed. We'd be discouraged. We'd be overwhelmed. And here in Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10, I know many of you probably even know this verse. It's a familiar verse to some of you. And it's just the Lord tells us what He expects from us. And He says, be not afraid. He says right there, He says, don't be afraid. And when you see things happen in this world, it's really easy to get overwhelmed. I tell you, when you saw what happened this past week in Texas, what happened with all those children and the teachers, and if we didn't have the Word of God to tell us that about sin and what the effects of sin are like, and that there's evil in the world and there's a presence of evil. And I know some of the Sunday school classes have recently talked a little bit about the presence of evil and talked about how none of this takes God by surprise. None of this is the way that God intended. In the garden, it was perfect. And as men gets worse and worse, people are saying, why isn't God doing something? Where is God's response? And the response happened 2,000 years ago. He came to this world and He died on the cross for the sins of mankind. He knew what was going to happen. He's seen what was going to happen. None of this has taken Him by surprise. But there is a presence of evil that's around us. In the day and time that we live in, there is a lot of different challenging things that we're going to face. Just like back in the Bible times, in the day of Isaiah, there was a lot of challenging things that were happening. And God comes and He says this verse. He comes and He says, be not afraid. And then He says, for I am with thee. Then He says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then He continues on and He says, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I really love that verse. And it is a verse that has helped many Christians over the years and has helped me, especially in the last recent times. And it's, I don't have to be afraid of things. I don't have to be dismayed. And that word dismayed gives the idea of being overwhelmed. It gives the idea of, most people think of dismayed means that they're distressed and that they're fearful. This word here specifically gives that meaning, but more importantly, it says something about being in amazement, being bewildered, looking at something, yes, just looking at it and just being overwhelmed by it and being stressed by it. And He says, look, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be dismayed. And He says, here's the reason why you don't have to be afraid. Number one is because I am with thee. Then He says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're going through, but I know people go through things. I know all of us, if you're trying to live for the Lord, the devil's not happy with it. The devil's going to send you oppression. The devil's going to send you hard times. And the Lord says, this is how I want you to respond. He says, I don't want you to be afraid of things, and I don't want you to be overwhelmed by things. He says, I am willing to strengthen thee. Not only am I willing to strengthen thee, He says, I will help thee also. Not only does He say, I will help thee, He says, I will uphold thee with my right hand. So this morning, the message, I pray, will be a comfort and a help and a conviction to you that, hey, I don't have to be fearful and I do not have to be overwhelmed in this world, because I have a God who's promised me not only that He's with me, but He's also God too. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you give me the words you once said. Lord, I pray that this verse would be an encouragement and help. And as we look at some other verses that reveal the greatness of God as the Creator and shows us how great you are, Lord, that we'll be overwhelmed with your greatness. Lord, we heard the piano playing about your faithfulness. We heard how we are faithful in the special music, how you're faithful also in the special music. And God, we're interested on how to respond today. We're interested in how to live amidst a crooked and perverse generation, or this world around us would be very, very overwhelming. This world around us could be something that would cause us stress and cause us, Lord, many, many different thoughts. But Lord, this verse here stands alone by it says we don't have to be afraid and we don't have to be dismayed. Help someone today. Help everyone that's here listening, but help specifically someone in their heart today. Help them to be encouraged with the fact that they don't have to be afraid. They can do what's right. They can live for you. They don't have to be dismayed. They can trust in you and believe and meditate in your word. Lord, help us to trust that you will strengthen us. Help us to trust that you will help us. Help us to trust that you will uphold us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this morning's message is Be Not Dismayed. The first point is look at what God expects, or look at what God is asking. There's two things specifically he says here that he tells us that he does not want us to do. First thing is be not afraid, or fear thou not. Second thing is be not dismayed. Consider that thought there, fear thou not. Now, we live in a very fearful generation. We live in a very fearful world. You go around and you see things that happen and you wonder what the future is going to hold. We don't have to wonder because we have the Word of God. And the things that are happening in this world, as things are unfolding, you see how they match up with Scripture. You see how the Bible has given us and told us how what men are going to be like and what women are going to be like and what the world's going to be like. And sometimes we see that and we're thinking, how am I supposed to respond? What is it that I'm supposed to do? How am I supposed to react as a believer? How am I supposed to react as a Christian? And he starts off and he says, be not afraid. I want to encourage you today that he says you don't have to be fearful. But I love that next phrase where he says, for I am with thee. It's simple this morning. We don't have to be afraid because God has promised us that he's with us. Everything we go through, everything we experience, everything that we see, he has promised the believer, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. And I tell you, sometimes when you're praying and you don't know what to pray, you can say, Lord, help me. I don't know what to say. Even sometimes when you're going into a situation and you're overwhelmed and you wish somebody could be there with you. You wish maybe your mom or dad could be with you, or maybe you wish your mate could be with you, or maybe you wish your child could be with you. And you come to these spots and these moments, and you know what happens? We can trust, and he says, look, you're not going through this alone. He says, be not afraid, for I am with thee. It's one of the greatest promises. It's probably one of my favorite promises in all the Bible, is what he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, you say, is that supposed to bring me comfort? I sure hope it does. The reality is there's so much comfort found in that because of who God is. Don't get me wrong. If you're going through a very troubling time, if you're entering into a dangerous situation and you don't know what you're going to do, maybe a little 3-year-old or a little 4-year-old could walk up to you and say, hey, don't worry. You don't have to be afraid. I'll go with you. You think about it. A 3-year-old is not going to bring you much comfort. A 4-year-old is not going to bring you much comfort. A 5-year-old would be, yeah, I appreciate that. I'm glad you're not afraid, but you're not going to really help me. You're not going to really protect me. You're not what I'm looking for. But when God, the God of the universe, says, I am with thee, it should mean something. As you go forward and as you step out in faith, by faith, as he commands us to do, it means something when he says, be not afraid, because he's saying, I'm there with you. Isaiah chapter number 40 has some wonderful verses that describe God. And I'd like to look at it here and give you a description. Not only look at what God expects, look at the one who is saying it is. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 40. Look what it says in verse number 12. And we could take a lot of time to look at these and just be amazed with how great our God is. And we're not gonna take all day to look at it because of the fact of just time or more. I think that there's other things God wants us to speak about. But if look what it says in Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? And comprehended the dust of the earth, and he measured, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Look what it says in verse 13 and 14. It says, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him in knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he that taketh up the isles as a very little things. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him?" Drop down to verse number 21. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understand from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not be take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy Ones? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, and not one faileth." And we could go on and on about it, but go back to verse number 12. I want you to see the one who says you don't have to be afraid is also the one whose power is unlimited. The one who says, "Be not afraid, for I am with thee," it's not a five-year-old going with you. It's not even your pastor going with you. Sometimes people will ask me, "Hey, pastor, can you go with me?" It will be a source of comfort and help. I think you can help. And sometimes it's a situation that is beyond repair that God has to step in. And I tell people, if you want me to go be a blessing, I'll do my best. But I don't see how I'm going to help sometimes, because I can't tell somebody, "Hey, look, you don't have to be afraid because I'll go with you." That doesn't cut it. It really doesn't. But when the God of the universe says, "Be not afraid, for I am with thee," you're talking about a God that says in verse number 12, who has measured the water in the hollow of his hand. And you think about even in the palm, in this little area, that he can measure the waters. And we think about how much of the earth is made up by water. And you think of the powers of the water. He says it's nothing to him. He can measure the water in the hollow of his hands. And it continues on and mete it out heaven with the span. And can measure the heavens and comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure. He knows the number of the sea. The sands on the sea. He knows the number of the hairs on our head. When he says, "Look, you don't have to be afraid," his power is limitless. And look what it says here. "And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." It's as if he could pick up the mountains and put them in a scale, like we would pick up the fruit at a grocery store and set it in a scale to measure it out. God can do that. God can do anything. And that's when he says, he comes to you, "Look, be not afraid. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, you don't have to be afraid because I am with thee." And it's a wonderful truth. And I know we face struggles, and I know we face hard times, and I know there's a presence of evil that's around us, and we deal with issues and problems, but none of us has taken God by surprise, and none of it is more powerful than God. So when he says, even though you're going to face these temptations, even though it's when you're going to face these trials, and even as times get closer and closer to the end times and things get worse and worse, he's not saying, "Okay, when you hit 5 years away from me coming, then you better be afraid." He doesn't say that. He says, "Be not afraid." Now, we should take things serious, and we should fear the Lord, and we should take things in an understanding of how Scripture is unfolding. But he says one of the things he is asking us to do not live your life by making fearful choices. Do not live your life by going out and saying, "I'm going to do this and this because I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me." Instead, take that step of faith. "For the just shall live by faith, not by sight." And he says, I don't want you to be living a life that's full of fear. I want you to live a life that's full of faith. Now look, not only does it say his power is unlimited, look what it says, his wisdom is unsearchable. Look what it says in verses 13 and 14. And I know sometimes when people come and they say, Pastor, I know that's what the Bible says. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know if that's what God meant. I don't know what that's God intended. And it's, I don't know if God's got this one right. And we might not verbalize it. Now, there's a lot of unbelievers, or a lot of people that are struggling in their faith, or a lot of people that are facing issues they don't know how to deal with, and they're thinking, I think God maybe got this wrong. Look what it says in verses 13 and 14. His wisdom is unsearchable. Who have directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who is the one that gives God direction? I mean, who is that? No one does. So when he says, look, you don't have to be afraid, I'm with thee, you're like, no, you're telling God something he doesn't know? And he keeps on going. And he says, who have directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor have taught him? There is nothing in this world that God does not know. Right. You think about it, no one can do what God does. No one can teach you what God can teach you. No one can teach you those things that are a better way or more productive or more powerful. No one can tell you better how to raise your family. He says it right here. He says, who's been the counselor to God? How many times in this world, with all the wise people that have been in this world for this last 6,000 years, and there's been a lot of people who thought they're going to tell God something and believe that they know better than God, how many times have God taken their counsel and said, you know what, I was wrong, I need to change? It's never happened, because he's never been wrong. He already knew it. Who is God's counselor? You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? I'm telling you that when we look at his word and we read his word, we start questioning it and we start wondering, does God really mean me? And when we're afraid and we're fearful and we're thinking, I can't do this, I can't take that step, I can't talk to that person, I can't forgive this person, I can't overcome this, I'm afraid what's going to happen. God says, look, I'm with you. And not only am I with you, I'm the one who whose power is overwhelming. It's limitless. I'm the one who has the wisdom that you cannot even search. It keeps on going with verse 14. With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And who taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge? And showed him the way of understanding? It's amazing what he's saying here is, I don't have to be afraid because God says I'm going to be with you. Not only does he say he's going to be with you, he's a God who is limitless in his power. He is a God who is wisdom is unsearchable. What we need to do is say, okay, Lord, if you tell me not to be afraid because you're with me, okay, I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to take that step of faith because you've told me to do it. Because I know you have the power to take care of anything. And I know you're wiser than anyone because no one has given you counsel. Next thing is, you think about it, the nations of this world are nothing in comparison to him. Sometimes we worry about, what's China going to do, or what's Russia going to do, or how what's going on in America, and we're thinking, if America goes down, what's going to happen? Is the world going to fall apart? If you look at these verses, there's been kingdom after kingdom in the Old Testament. There's been people who have been in charge of the world at different times, world leaders and world rulers. And he says to it, he says, if you compare the most powerful man, I think if you look in, I know it might be speculation, but Nebuchadnezzar, how much he ruled the world at that one point in time, probably one of the most powerful men to ever live. Compared to God, there's no comparison. And you think about the great nation of Babylon, you think about the great United States, or you think about all the things that China has and how much they own and all those different things. But look at this. It says in verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, or counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Imagine how many isles there are. It's a very little thing. And it says, verse 16, Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And it doesn't matter who is the strongest military force in the world. Nothing compared to God. It's as a drop in the bucket. That no matter whatever is the greatest nation that has ever lived and ever survived, whether you think it was Babylon or Alexander the Great or even modern-day technology and weaponry, he says, look, you don't have to be afraid of any of those things because the God that looks at those nations is nothing but a drop in the bucket. He says, I'm there and I'm with you. And the next great thing is, well, yeah, he is a God who is all powerful, and he is. You can't even search. You can't even understand how wise he is. And yeah, compared to the nation can't even compare to him. But he's someone who cares about us and loves us too. Look what it says in verse number 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry gently and shall gently lead those that are with young. You think about it. What is being said here in this passage of Scripture, he not only is a God that's limitless in his power, unsearchable in his knowledge, compared to the great nations is no comparison, but he comes and he says, I'm going to treat you like the shepherd treats their sheep. I'm going to provide for you. And those that are hurting, he says he carries them in his bosom. And then those that are with child, he's going to keep them away from danger and shall gently lead those that could be in harm's way, that they might cast off their young. I mean, this is the God that's there with us. I don't know where you're at and what's going on in your heart and your mind, but there is one thing that God says to you. He says, do not be afraid. You should be able to face any circumstance or any situation without having fear, because he says, I am with thee. Now, does that mean that I'm never afraid? Of course not. There are fearful things all around us, and there are things that we respect, but God has not given us a spirit of fear. And as we have more faith than we have fear, means that we will do what God's called us to do. And we don't have to be afraid. We can be faithful because of the fact he has promised us that he's going to be there with us. And keep on with that. But let's look at the next thing that God expects. Not only does he say, and you go back to chapter 41, verse 10, if you like to, fear thou not. He also uses this word, be not dismayed. This is something he expects. He said, be not dismayed. Now, this is not the first time he uses this word. He, through Moses, he tells the children of Israel as they're getting ready to go in the promised land, and he said to them, and the Lord, this is Moses speaking to the children, and the Lord, he is that go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He tells Joshua 1:9 as they're getting ready to go in the promised land, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And he's saying over here, don't be dismayed, don't be dismayed. And he's like, Pastor, what does that mean? It means that we look at things and we're bewildered by them. We stand in amazement and we look at the world that's around us. And instead of focusing on the God who loves us and the God who's in control of the universe, we care more about the circumstances and we allow those circumstances to change who we are and hurt our faith. What are you saying? I'm saying when we look at something that happens in this world, that word dismayed, if you looked at it, if you Googled, it talks about confusion and fear. And the word dismayed also talks about being distressed in Joshua 1:9 and having a fearful result in Deuteronomy 31:8. But the word dismay here is as you see something that's going on and you're like, you can't get it out of your mind. You look at what's happening in this world and you begin to question your God. God says, look, you don't have to be afraid. I'm going with you. I'm there with you. You got this. By faith, you can handle any situation. Then he says, be not dismayed. He says, for I am thy God. He's there and he says, you don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to be bewildered by the things that are going on in this world. The things are found right here. If we will learn to live by faith and learn to work with others and learn to forgive and learn to obey and learn to want to be more faithful, we see all those things and he's saying, hey, and you say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but that's why God said it. Because if I said, hey, look, you don't have to be afraid, I'll go with you, I ain't going to help you too much. I'll pray for you. And that helps, but, you know, if there is a situation that you can't handle, more than likely there's a situation I'm not going to be able to handle either because I'm human, I'm limited. You should be fearful if I'm your only hope. But I'm not your only hope. He says, be not dismayed, he says, because I am thy God. Baal is not your God. This world is not your God. The devil's your God. He says, look, you don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to be stressed. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to allow these things to enter into your heart. You can be faithful. Why is that? It's because he's our God. Who's our God? The one whose power is limitless. The one whose wisdom is unsearchable. The one who, compared to the nations, there is no comparison. The one who says, I'm going to love you and treat you the way the shepherd treats his sheep. I'm going to feed you and take care of you. And when you're in danger, I'm going to pick you up and carry you close to my breast. I'm going to lead you in a safe way. It's amazing when he says, you don't have to be overwhelmed. He said, Pastor, what about the school shooting? Boy, if you sit there and you look at that and you try to figure out, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be bewildered. When you try to figure out, besides what the Bible says, why in the world that would ever happen, there's no answer. Really, what do you do when men say that they want to be women and women say they want to be men? What do you do when homosexuality? What do you do with all the other people who are anti what the Bible says? You're not going to make sense of it because there's no sense to it. What you're going to make sense of is that I have a God and I serve a God who is giving us his word. God didn't say, you know what? Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I should have made that man a woman because he feels that way. He's not a counselor. No one's going to give him that counsel. He's not going to learn from that. He's not going to learn from us. He's God. And you say, how does that help me? He loves us, and he tells you, don't be overwhelmed. Don't let this stop you. Don't let this hurt your faith. Continue to move forward. And he says, why? Because he says, I'll strengthen you. He keep on going in the verse. He says, be not afraid, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. What's the next three words? I will strengthen thee. The next four words. He says, if you're looking for your strength from someone else besides the limitless power of God, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be dismayed. If you try to find your strength in the world and make sense of all the things that are happening in this world, apart from the scriptures and apart from what the God has revealed unto us, it's going to be an overwhelming task. Because you're going to have to change your thought process. Oh, this is wrong. And then when something happens, oh, no, this is wrong. Now, if you believe this and trust in this, this is your book. Earlier in chapter number 40, it talks about how the word of God, in verse number 8, it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. It's the word of God that stands forever. Verse number 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. It's saying that the people don't last. 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, even go back to the Old Testament, the 1,200 years. It don't matter. They don't last, but you serve a God that does last. You serve a God who says you don't have to be afraid because he's going with you. Not only does he tell you that, he says, look, you don't need to be overwhelmed. You don't have to be stressed. You need to remember he's your God. If you look at him as your God, if you see him high and lifted up like Isaiah did in chapter number 6, he saw him high, he saw him lifted up, he saw him holy. You know what his response was? Oh, I'm unclean. I need to get this right. What was his next response? Lord, you're God. If you want me to do something, here am I, send me. I don't care how overwhelming it is. And if you read that passage in Isaiah chapter number 6, he sends them to a people that are not going to listen. He sends them to a people and he says he's going to preach to them and preach to them and preach to them. And they're not going to listen to him. Why would God do that? He's God. He can do what he wants. But he wanted the prophet to be fair and preach to them and have the word of God present there. So they could be without excuse. You say, Pastor, who can do that? Who can live today and not be afraid? Who can live today and not be overwhelmed by all the things that are happening? It's the person who believes that God is with them and the person who believes in the God that is their God. He wasn't just God for the nation of Israel when they need the Red Sea parted. Because I'm sure, wouldn't you have been afraid back then? I would have been. I probably would have been one of those people saying to Moses, why'd you take us from Egypt? We're going to die. And that would have been me. But you know what? God parted the Red Sea. And that's what he's saying to this nation that's here getting ready to go into slavery. And he's writing them to them in this time period. And he said, look, you're getting ready to face some. And you don't have to be afraid. You're getting ready to face some things. Let this overwhelm you. Do not let this affect your faith. Do not let this change who you are and what God desires you to be. And why? Who can do that? The person who allows God to strengthen them. Because he says, I will strengthen thee. How do you get strength in the Lord? Obviously, there's through our Bible reading, through our praying, through our spiritual disciplines and our walk with God. But not only does he say he will strengthen thee, he says the next phrase, yea, I will help thee. He said, I'm overwhelmed. God says he'll help you. Allow him to help you. He said, well, I am allowing him to help you. He helps those who live by faith. If you choose to live in a world that's away from him and believing and trusting him, in, then he's not able to bless that. It's those who says, Lord, I'm afraid, but I need your help not to be fearful. God, give me the fear, give me the faith to take that next step that I know that is right. I'm overwhelmed right now, Lord. I want to trust in you. I want to believe that you're God. And I get into your word and get into his word. And he says, Lord, I need you to help me because he's promised I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. And then he goes, yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Think about it. He is holding us up with God's right hand of his righteousness. Is there somebody that can take us out of God's hand? No. Is there someone more powerful than God? No. Is there someone who's going to tell God something that he's going to change his mind and stop saying he's willing to strengthen us? No. Is there somebody out there that's going to convince God, hey, they don't need help? No, he says, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. So what do we learn from this? We're in a crazy world and there is going to be things that are happening and maybe it's just scratched the surface of things that it's going to get crazier and crazier. If God does not send revival to our nation, and he can, and I know he can, it begins in our hearts, it begins with us individually and as families and as churches, and I think God can save America. I know some preachers say, you know, it's right near the end times and all these things are happening. I see it. I understand what they're saying. But I know God can do anything. And if God can do anything, if God doesn't send revival, things are not going to get better. We're just going to see. And there might be some victories that you see. You might see a little victory here, a little victory there. But you're going to see worse and worse and worse things that happen. The world has changed drastically in the last 5 years. You can blame COVID if you want. The world's changed drastically in the last 10 years. You go back 20 years. We've been here in Elizabeth City almost 20 years. The world is a completely different place than it was 20 years ago. I look across the room and see people that have gray hair or no hair, and that the world has changed in their last 50 years and 60 years and 70 years. The world has gotten worse and worse and worse. And this same verse was back there 100 years ago when he says, look, be not afraid, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And it back then, the things that were bad, if they let them dismay them, if they let them stress them out, if they made them anxious, you know what they did? They didn't serve for the Lord. Because if God can get your, if the devil can get your mind off of him and how great he is, the fact that he is with us and the fact that he is our God and the fact that he will strengthen us and help us and uphold us, if the devil can get our heart and mind off of that, what is our heart and mind on? We're dismayed by the things of this world. We're bewildered by the things of this world. We're bewildered by what kids are doing today. We're bewildered by Hollywood today. We're bewildered by all. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe. And yeah, we all say that when it happens. And then it gets so common and so used to it, it doesn't bother us anymore. You know, sort of like cursing on TV. First time they did it, boy, that was it. They did what? Now it happens all the time. You know, nudity used to be something, premarital sex used to be something. You know, all those things we used to sit back and say, wow, but now it's normal for many people who do not want to believe the Bible. We could be dismayed by that. Think about it. What does the Bible tell us to think about? It says, for whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible says to meditate in the Word of God day and night. If this is our thought process, we're not going to be bewildered by the things of the world. Now, I'm not telling you to go take your head, stick it in the sand, and pretend like nothing's happening wrong. I'm telling you something completely different. I'm telling you that we take step by step, and we believe that the Lord is with us as we're going through this. It's not that little five-year-old walking up and saying, I'll go with you if you're scared. You ain't going to help me. But when I see God, And I see him as power to, as limitless. And I see a wisdom that it's already there, that's unsearchable. And compared to the nations, they're nothing compared to God. And I see a God who says he loves me so much, he'll cherish me and hold me and strengthen me. That's not going to bewilder me because God's with me. Why do I have to be afraid? Why do I have to be scared? Why do I have to be overwhelmed? Because God's promise he's going to go with me. It doesn't make the things easier. It just makes us able to go through them because he's told us we can trust in him. We allow God to strengthen us. That's what those verses in Philippians chapter number 4 start off. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Have you ever been going through something or seen someone go through something that was so traumatizing, you said, if that would have happened to me, it would have killed me. But you see that they have the peace of God on them. What is that? Why is that? They believe Isaiah 41:10. They believe that God is with them, and they believe that I am thy God. I'm not just some little impotent God that I put on the shelf and say, okay, yeah, God, you're with me. Yeah, it's good, God, you're with me. No, I am thy God. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I'm the one that can measure I can meet the waters at the hollow of my hand. I'm the God that created this place. I can measure the skies. I can do all things. See, it's more than just knowing that he's with us. It's believing that he is limitless in his power, and we do not have to tell him how to do things, and that he loves us. When we look at him that way, we don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to sit there and look at things and say, I can't figure it out. Does he tell us to figure it out? Does he tell us to be faithful? I want to encourage you today. Be not dismayed. I see a lot of believers and Christians, and even my own life, when things happen, I get focused. And I get stuck on something, and I get stuck on it. And I sit there and I look at it, and I look at it, and look at it, and look at it. You know who I'm not looking at? Jesus Christ. You know, when my heart and my mind is on a situation and the circumstance, and somebody else has done me wrong, or someone else has hurt me, or the problems that are in this world, you know who I'm not thinking about? I'm not thinking about him. When I am overwhelmed by the things of this world, I'm not overwhelmed by the greatness of God. And I, like I said, it's not ignoring the world's problems, but it's living as a light in this crooked and perverse generation. Because when we become overwhelmed by the things of this world, we're not ready to be a help to those people that are struggling. When we come across people who are hurting, come across people who are struggling, if we're the ones that are bewildered, if we're the ones that are overwhelmed, if we're the ones that are anxious, if we're the ones that are dealing with sin and got our eyes off the Lord, who are we going to help? We're just going to complain with them. We're just going to talk about how bad things are with them. Or we could take our Lord and Savior and lift him up and say, you know what, I don't understand everything that's happening, but he's promised me that he's never going to leave me. He's promised me I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be dismayed. I don't have to sit there and look at things in amazement because I have a God that's in control of all things and he can work all things together for good. So today, are you afraid? Pastor, I'm not afraid of anything. Is there something that you're not willing to take that next step of faith with? Are we fearful in our heart about something? And I'm not talking about being afraid of a rattlesnake sitting there. I'm talking about whatever God has put you in the situations you have, you know there's something he wants you to do. He says, look, you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. I'm going to go with you, and even when you deal with that tough subject and that hard issue, you can get it figured out because I'm with you. And don't let it overwhelm you because I am thy God. I'm not just a little five-year-old. I'm not just the pastor. I'm not just a friend. I am someone who can do something about it. And even when you're super weak and you don't know what the next step is, I will strengthen thee. And even though you feel like no one is willing to help you, I will help thee. If you're not going to be afraid, you're not going to let this dismay you, I will strengthen you. You will make it through this. I am willing to help you here, and I'm even willing to uphold you with my right hand of righteousness today. Are you overwhelmed by something? He said, no. Have you changed? Are you living for him? I see sometimes people's just allow their visage to change, your attitude to change. Well, I'm fine. And they're not fine inside. Inside, they're all torn up. You don't have to be afraid. I know it might be a tough road ahead of you. It might be challenging, and it might be something you don't understand. But God says, I'm going with you. He says, don't let it overwhelm you, because if I'm going with you, you don't have to be worried, because I am God. I am thy God. I'm not just Abraham's God. I'm not just Moses' God. I'm not just the children of Israel's God. I am thy God, and I can strengthen thee, and I can help thee if you let him. This morning, fear thou not. What does God expect? For you not to be afraid. For you not to be dismayed. Who's the one that says it? The limitless power of God, powerful God that is unsearchable in his wisdom, that is stronger than any nation, and that loves and cares for you unlike any other. He's the one that says, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be overwhelmed. I will strengthen thee and help thee and uphold thee. This morning, believe what God says. Be willing to take that next step of faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your word.